Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we think about ourselves as God's living stones, being built into a spiritual house by Him. Let's pray. O God of light, love, and glory, please reveal your presence to us this day. Send your Spirit to show us your story. May your will illuminate our hearts as we dare to proclaim your word, and may we, your people, be willing to tell all that we have heard, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading for today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, and I'm reading from the NIV. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Just to there, and may God bless His word to us today and always. 2 weeks ago, we read through 1 Peter chapter 1. We picked up on two recurring phrases, the first being, "Prepare your minds for action," which is a translation of the idiom, "Gird up the loins of your mind," that is, be spiritually alert and ready to face the world as a follower of Christ. The second phrase was the instruction to also be self-controlled, to be directed from within by the Holy Spirit instead of being controlled by outside circumstances. In light of this, Peter then urged the church to live like a follower of Jesus in the world, namely to reflect the family values as adopted children of our Heavenly Father, and to make every effort to love our fellow believers. Each time the church is brought back to the idea that all of our activities are rooted in the cross. It is the reason for our existence. Why? Because we have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. We may think our opinions or human ideas are better, but our lives are here today and gone tomorrow, whilst the Word of God stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to those who would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, in chapter 2, Peter says, "Therefore," that is, in light of God's eternal word which birthed you and me into His kingdom, we are instructed to get rid of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, to be like a newborn baby that craves milk. And here it is described as pure spiritual milk. There are two things for us to note at this point. The first is the image of a newborn baby, which in this instance is not a picture of immaturity, but of one who is altogether without guile, or one who is innocent and neither devious nor intentionally deceptive. The idea is that as long as we are here on earth as God's people, we are to approach our faith as babies. And here we can recall the words of Jesus in Matthew 18 verse 3, where He said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So there is both the aspect of innocence that is at the same time not gullible and simple childlike trust in our walk with God. The second image is that of milk. In this context, milk is not a reference to elementary truths as opposed to more advanced Christian truths or teachings that only mature Christians can handle, which is more the thrust in passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 2, where Paul said, "I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready." And Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 to 13, where the church was rebuked with the words, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness." In our reading then, what is meant by the use of the word milk is clarified by the word spiritual in the phrase pure spiritual milk. The word spiritual is translated from the Greek word logikon, which can equally, perhaps more accurately, mean of the word. Here, the King James Version and some of the older translations are more helpful, saying, "Desire the sincere milk of the word." The New American Standard Bible says, "Long for the pure milk of the word." An almost exact parallel to the first two verses of 1 Peter chapter 2 is found in James 1 verse 21, which more concisely says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept, or receive with meekness, the word planted in you, which can save you." By parallel, I mean not so much exact wording, but having the same idea that we are to grow by the word of God in order to shun evil behavior. Thus, the milk of the word is God's sustaining and life-giving scriptures, and by it we taste and see that the Lord is good. For God's word enables us to grow up in our salvation as his adopted children in a world that lives in darkness. And it is here that Peter employs the image of stones or rocks that Jesus possibly inspired him with on that day when he was given a revelation from the Father as to who he is. More specifically, Peter locates these images in the Old Testament. He says in verses 4 to 5, "As you come to him, Christ, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." How is Jesus the living stone? Peter draws this conclusion from various messianic references to him, which speak along these lines, quoting from Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16, which says, "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed." And again, from Psalm 118 verse 22 to 24, we read the following, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And finally, from Isaiah chapter 8 verse 14, which says, "And he will be a sanctuary, but for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare." Think here of how the message of Jesus offended the leaders in Jerusalem. Peter quotes these passages to verify that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, but it also provides God's people with the assurance that all who have Jesus Christ as the cornerstone or the foundation of their lives will share in his risen life. The result is that when we come to him, who is the living stone, or to put it another way, as we approach him in word, worship, and prayer, and fellowship with one another, and live out our lives faithfully in the light of his word, we, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, the church. We are being crafted into this house, held together by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. As we draw to a close, in view of the various Old Testament quotes, Peter then states that while there will be those who trip and fall over Christ the living stone because they refuse to obey, just as predicted, the church in verses 9 to 10 stands as a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that they may declare the praises of him who called them out of darkness into his wonderful light. He then says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." These are quite important words, rich in meaning for God's people in the Old Testament as they described Israel, but now their use here shows the spiritual continuity between those who responded to God by faith under the Old Covenant as well as the Christian believers under the New Covenant. Christians individually and the church corporately are seen as God's new temple, a spiritual house, since it is indwelt by his Holy Spirit. As such, in view of verse 5 and verse 9, the only sacrifices now to be offered by the church are spiritual ones, since Jesus has made the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. Thus, for us to now be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, is to be separate from the world's ways, so that we may declare the praise of God because he has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. The addition of the quote from Hosea assures the church that even though there was a time that we were not a people, we are now the people of God. And even though at some time we may have been outside of the mercy of God, we are now the recipients of God's amazing grace and mercy. Of course, there will always be people who reject or stumble at the notion that Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. But let's remember that for those who will stay the course in this life, through the ups and downs and all the challenges they may face as God's people, our faith will not be in vain. We will not be put to shame. So may God help us all to live like his people and help others to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. With God's help, let us be mindful of ourselves as a spiritual house gathered in his name always. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Please would you join us together in unity of spirit by their teaching, which comes from you, that we may become this holy temple acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And God bless you.